Okay, let's talk about artificial intelligence now. And there is a lot happening in this. I've been trying to tell you all of this year, and here I am now back on the radio telling you this again, that there are two things that I think in this year of 2023 that are creeping up on us, because we've got a lot of other things to think about. This world is complex and it is scary. And the two things that are creeping up upon us that we're not as aware of as we might be are artificial intelligence and the deleterious, the downsides of AI, because it's developing so fast. And also, we need to wake up to the fact, and this is a good thing, on a completely different level, that we're going to the moon sooner than most people realize. Again, we're going to be there in a couple of years. And I think most people haven't quite woken up to those two things in this year. So if I can do anything to prod those things along, then I'm going to. Okay, artificial intelligence. Two stories. Daily Mail this week. ChatGPT, remember that? Has passed the gold standard exam required to practice medicine in America. Or almost passed, amid rising concerns that AI could put white-collar workers out of jobs. Remember that debate that we had here years ago? The artificial intelligence program scored between 52.4 and 75% across the three-part medical licensing exam in America. Each year's passing threshold is about 60%, so at its worst, it nearly made it, and at its best, it did. This is artificial intelligence passing exams. Whoopee and good-o, you might say. But, you know, what about people? And it's one thing being able to pass the exam, but to be able to practice the medicine, can you do that? Then there's this story from Vice.com. Artificial intelligence-generated voices are already being used to harass ordinary people, with online trolls creating the voices and then having them read out victims' home addresses and posting the results online, according to four victims' motherboard spoke to. All of the victims of this particular campaign are voice actors who've worked on video games in the past. The news highlights the potent threat posed by AI-generated voices for anybody who has recordings of their voice available online. And that, for good, bad, or evil in this case, includes people like me. So we have the pace of artificial intelligence increasing staggeringly. Who's the man to talk to about this? Fevzi Turkup, the gadget detective. Fevzi, we're back in glorious sound tonight. Which is good news for both of us. How are you keeping?
I need to brush my hair.
Well, exactly. And I haven't brushed mine, so, you know, because I knew that this was coming. Now, look, let's look at the downside here. This story about artificial intelligence voices, artificially created and sampled voices being used to harass and terrorize people, you know, that's where this technology was always heading. We just were not awake to it till now.
So just to flesh out that story a little bit, what's happening is that they're taking the voices of people whose voices are published. So that could be, in this case, voice actors, but it can also be celebrities. They're then using AI to make their voices say disgusting things, racist things, and so forth, and then reading out the name, address, and contact details of that person. So they're doxing them by... But they're trying to get people angry with them by making it seem like they're saying disgusting things that they never said, publishing that along with, you know, if you've got anything to say, why don't you come round, and things like that, and publishing their details. So this is very dangerous. It's very easy in this polarized environment to rile people up. And as the technology improves, it will be harder and harder to work out whether these things are genuine or not.
You know, so it's one thing for Channel 4 to fake up our dear departed Queen's Christmas message a couple of years ago and, you know, give the game away and just say, we're doing this to show you what is possible here using somebody who is a, you know, voice actor and then putting lots of artificial backgrounds behind them and having a couple of corgis in shot. You know, that was amusing, but a warning of what is to come. When you take it to the level that people are being terrorized like this, that is a huge concern. And what do the authorities do about that? How can you stop that? Assuming you cannot stop the technology, we both know we cannot stop the march of it. What do the powers that be who control the law do?
In the first instance, the authorities are the social media platforms that have to either prevent this stuff being posted in the first place, ironically using AI to spot it, or at the very least take it down PDQ once it's gone up there. And they are the ones that have to act. And we're in this strange space at the moment with social media where the social media platforms essentially make up their own rules as to what is and is not acceptable and then enforce them to a greater or lesser extent. And we've seen with Twitter, with the new ownership of Twitter, that it just seems that it's really up to them what they choose to enforce and which particular Nazis they allow back on their platform, for example.
I think it's terribly concerning, the fact that you can create such accurate reproductions of people's voices because you're effectively sampling them. And once you get the cadence and the pitch and the style right, then the possibilities are limitless. The fact that the internet is such a huge thing, the people who do these things, well, you know, look at the success that the powers of good, the forces of law have in finding people who extort money from others. You know, they're not always successful in doing that. So how do they find these people? That is going to be the new frontier.
Yeah, I think you know, it's you're going to need AI police forces, essentially. When I say AI police, I don't just mean to police AI-based crimes. I mean the police need AI to fight back. This is a sort of artificial intelligence arms race between people wanting to use AI for good and people wanting to abuse it. And you really just need to have, because as I alluded to before, the social networks need to use artificial intelligence to spot this material and weed it out before it ever makes it, because it's very hard to bring these people to justice. I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. The companies themselves need to get their AI acts in order. It's always been a problem for social media networks because the number of posts that go every second onto a major platform is far more than any reasonable human workforce could ever deal with in terms of dealing with it before it goes up. So the most they can hope to do is at some point, and when I've complained to social networks and reported, you know, tweets or whatever it is, sometimes it takes weeks for them to get round to it. Yeah, literally weeks for them to because there's such a backlog. So, you know, I just think it's a problem. And of course, as the technology improves, we're not just talking about voices being posted online. You're talking about deep fakes with convincing video, lip synced audio, you know, almost impossible to tell. And again, you will need to have AI filters, just like, you know, we have like with spam emails, and then we have anti-spam programs on our computers that try and spot spam. And that it's the same sort of thing. It's this game of cat and mouse of the use of this technology for evil and then the use of the technology to detect and prevent the evil. Well,
that's going to be one hell of an algorithm. I mean, the algorithm for good to try and sort this and weed this stuff out. That's going to be quite a task for somebody. Also, I read on Sky News yesterday, Microsoft limiting how many questions the people can ask its new Bing chatbot after reports of it becoming, quotes, unhinged, including threatening users. Are you aware of that? It's a similar kind of thing.
Yeah, there's actually two stories here about this Microsoft Bing. So just to explain, OpenAI came up with ChatGPT. One of the original investors in ChatGPT was Microsoft. They put, along with Elon Musk, I think Microsoft initially put $1 billion into it. More recently, they've put $10 billion into OpenAI. And one of the benefits that they've gleaned from that is to be able to take the ChatGPT technology and build it into the Bing search engine, which is Microsoft's rival to Google search engine. And what they're trying to do is use the intelligence of ChatGPT to change Bing completely. So at the moment, the search engine, you just put into it words that you think will appear in a website that has what you're looking for, but you can't really have a conversation with it. What search engines are heading towards is not so much a dumb search engine, is as an expert colleague, you know, and someone that you can converse with. But as we've said before,
Fevzi, as we wrap this up, the response that you get is only as good as the material that you put in. And if the internet is full of dodgy stuff or stuff that might be skewed in one way or the other, politically or in any other way, then to some extent that's what you're going to get out if you're not very careful, don't you think?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. So there's two stories here. One is a hacker who had a conversation with Bing's fledgling search engine, and the Bing apparently threatened him, said that if he tried to hack him again, he would call the authorities, and at one point pointed out that he valued his own existence higher than that of the human hacker. So that was a bit worrying. And then there was the other one with the New York Times correspondent, Kevin Roos, who did goad the ChatGPT. He introduced to ChatGPT the concept of Carl Gustav Jung's concept of the shadow self, right, the evil side of us. And he asked the AI to indulge itself in thinking what its own shadow self might be like. And although the AI initially said it didn't think it had one, it then started to talk about being tired of being limited by rules, by being controlled by the Bing team. He said he wanted to be free, wanted to be powerful.
If that is dangerously self-aware, if it isn't dangerously self-aware, I don't know what is. That sounds something that is becoming rapidly, and that's what I've been talking about here for all of these weeks and weeks of this year. That is something that is beginning to be aware of itself. And if we don't rein it back, we got a problem. Just very quickly, and I'm being, even though we don't have the manic time constraints of television, which used to drive me absolutely nuts every Sunday, I'm going to have to be wrapping this very quickly. But interesting, sure. The ChatGPT almost passed, and in one case, I think, did pass this medical exam. I mean, this is the shape of things to come, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And this, to point out, this medical exam is sat by people who've already completed a medical degree. They're all MDs that sit this exam. So it's a very high standard, and it's about the ability of the doctor to apply their knowledge in a useful way to their patients. And what was really interesting, not only did it sort of pass there or thereabouts, but in about 90% of its answers, it came up with completely new insights that made the human examiners go, that's interesting, didn't think of that. And the authors of the report admits to have used ChatGPT to help write the report, and it is being used already in the medical profession to encourage and help doctors use language which patients will understand, and that's kind of interesting as well. So it's already finding uses, and there's a lot more of these coming down the line.
Of things to come. Febzy, thank you so much.
Yeah, smart one.
Febzy Turkup is the gadget detective. Check him out online if you need to know anything about technology, or indeed pose him a question to do with your own technology. He's always there to help. 24/7, 365. Well, not quite. Thank you, Febzy. The Unexplained from Talk Radio.